We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
With your hosts, Wayne New, Greg Narrow,
and Louis. All right, everybody, welcome to Rat Salad Review, and today we are here to review and talk about the new debut album from new band King Creeper, and we're here with their lead singer, David McCrutton. Hey, David, how you doing?
All good, Greg. Greg, great, yeah. Thanks for having me on. I'm a fan of the show, so it's great to be asked on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. This is awesome. This is not only one of the most exciting albums I've heard recently, but the most exciting true rock and roll album I've heard in years.
That's very, very flattering, Greg. It's been a long time coming. We've been working on it for quite a while. It actually started before the pandemic, believe it or not. And it's everything's just kind of, you probably know yourself, Greg, recording an album can take quite some time, and it's a bit of a slow process. So yeah, I'm so glad to finally have it out. So you saying that is amazing. All the feedback so far on the album has been positive, thankfully. But I know from talking to you before, I know we've had a few messages back and forward. So it was very flattering that you were into the album, because I know you were saying that it's mostly the majority of the stuff you're listening to at the minute. It's kind of older stuff. So yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's amazing because, I mean, you and I were talking, but to me, it captures not only the energy, but that feel that, like, Mötley Crüe and other special bands like that had back then. And really, just over time, there's something fresh, exciting about it. And it's truly honest. It's all about a love for rock and roll, you know, like Van Halen when they first came out, even. Just that energy where we're gonna jam the Kinks for 9 minutes and guy's gonna smack this chair against the wall and everybody's just gonna go nuts.
yeah I think a lot of the stuff that I listen to is everything from even going back to 50s rock and roll. I'm a massive fan of, so that obviously evolves into the likes of the 60s and as you mentioned there, the Kinks. Always been a massive fan of hooky guitar riffs and good melodies. And simple stuff that's kind of simple. It's been always something I think I always try and stick to. The record, as you said, Mötley Crüe was the first one on me when you said that. But when you listen to them early records, you're probably right. There are them 3 minute rock and roll songs on the record, and it's mixed up with maybe other stuff that was done with maybe a slightly different tones in it, and not just all straightforward rock and roll. So I that was a really nice observation that you made, and Stephanie then is going to make me go back and listen to the early Mötley Crüe records again, because it actually wasn't one that none of the reviews so far have said that, but definitely I can see where you're coming from.
You know, it's especially, hang on, I have to look at my phone because I don't have the physical record yet. So like in Tastes Like Lightning, which might actually be my favorite song on the album. I think one of the best things about it, one, your voice sounds amazing. The reverb and different things you use on it is just great, which also, side note, kind of reminded me of the Cramps a little bit with that mysteriousness, which is why I picked this specific background.
Yeah, I was going to say it's good background.
Yeah. But with the key or the organ flourishes and all that, you know, it is straight ahead rock and roll. But you guys throw some really awesome accents in there that really accent the song and push it forward and make it very catchy. Like Sick Visions, the single, is just amazing pick for a single. I mean, if you're probably a little bit of an outdated reference, but I don't listen to a lot of current radio, but that would be right up there on the radio with the White Stripes. I feel like overtaking them because it's more creative, but
Well, listen, I'm a massive White Stripes fan as well. So, but the likes of you mentioned the Cramps there. I'm a massive Cramps fan, especially with the likes of the guitarists and the licks that are in all their songs. You know, for a band that repeats the same thing over and over again, they always every album that they make a way to make it sound fresh. And you said Sick Visions, that to me was a no-brainer for a lead single, just because I think it. It kind of was able to set out what way the album was going to go. It's also the opening track of the album, but Taste Like Lightning was the second single. And I think it's what you're saying there. It's a lighter song compared to Sick Visions, so we wanted to have a really good opening single. And then I thought that Taste Like Lightning was if there's definitely wouldn't call pop songs on the record, but it's definitely the one with probably the catchiest chorus. And it made sense to then put that out after. So, yeah, the organs and that was all added in the studio. We, as I had a lot of ideas of what could be added into the background of the songs. And yeah, the likes of the Hammond organ and things like that, I'm a massive fan of, massive Doors fan as well. And just even that the likes of that droniness as well in the background could be a really nice filler just underneath the guitars. Yeah.
It really is, and it goes along great with it, especially with how your guitar player don't know the name, sorry.
It's my brother Matthew, yeah. Matthew,
He has such a great feel in the way he plays, and it accents it perfectly. And I love how he carries the feeling and goes along with the theme of the song like that, like Ulrich Roth from the Scorpions and Electric Sun do.
As I say, there's actually, if you listen to the album, there's a couple, there's a bit of a sort of an Eastern, a Middle Eastern kind of feel sometimes, but which we had a bit of a thing in the practice room was on one of the songs, Little Lover Boy, and another song, set our so in Little Lover Boy, essentially, we used to make a bit of a joke, it was called like the Moroccan one because of the guitar sound on it. We used to say like make it a bit more Moroccan, but that developed into almost that was one of the first songs we kind of sorted out for the album. And you can notice that, I think, through about three or four of the tracks. It's a really distinctive guitar sound. I say it's down to my brother's, and he's a great player, so he kind of honed in on that. And I think if you listen through the album from start to finish, you can hear flashes of that Eastern sort of sound in guitar throughout, which gives the album that sound or makes it cohesive as an album. Well, that's what I sort of noticed by the end of the recording process anyway.
It really does, and I noticed that too. It's a really cool recurring theme throughout it because how it fits, and then it kind of circles back around to that. And the Moroccan riff specifically in Little Lover Boy actually made me think of, I don't know if you're a fan of them or not, but She's as Beautiful as a Foot by Blue Oyster Cult.
What's it called?
Yeah. Because the lyrics, they have that, well, throughout the whole album, but that song as well, they have that little bit of sardonic wit to them, kind of like EOC used to do. And I love that. It makes you think, but it's straightforward and you can still enjoy it. So that was really cool there.
There's kind of dark humor all throughout the album. I think that cuts through on some of the things, and I think that that's the way I've always kind of I've always wrote songs like that where I don't want to be so straightforward that people it's a straightforward love song or whatever it's about, but to try and leave it where people can make their own interpretation of the lyrics, and even if something doesn't fit together but it sounds good and the lyrics in my head make sense, they'll still go on to the song. And then usually sometimes them ones turn out to be the best ones, and people have their own interpretations of them, so it's great.
It really is, and just I mean, you know how beautiful it all flows together, and how well it's constructed. But then also, just with you guys' energy and the flourishes you put in and different stuff like that, this is just as electric as like Diamond Head's Lightning to the Nations, which was recorded, in 3 days with no real thought out pre-production.
Yeah, I think we had a lot of time. We didn't have a lot of time, what you would call in the studio, but to hone the songs in the practice room. And we done a lot of jamming over this last few years. And maybe the likes of the pandemic and maybe me as a songwriter having more time to digest the songs. I had another band before where we were very, very quick. I was very quick to write the songs. We were quick to jam them, and then we had them in the studio very, very quickly. And that was fantastic because we were a bit younger then, and we were gigging a lot more. So you kind of were able to do that and test that out. With this album, I wanted it to be really well put, as you said, put together. So there's a lot of thought went into song structures, which before I never really done that. My other band was a bit more of a punk band, so to speak, where it was 2 minute songs, a bit Ramones type thing. And you know yourself that those songs are the not in the sound samey, but you kind of get into a groove of writing the same songs. This album, I definitely wanted to write something different, and again, that's even to do with song structure, playing around with Little Lover Boy doesn't really have a chorus. It only has one very brief chorus, and then the song ends in an instrumental, which doesn't make sense, but the song works. So when we were trying to put the songs together, I was very, very conscious of that, but it made sense by the end of the album, yeah.
It works really well as a coda. Leaves you wanting more, but kind of gives it
Yep.
that nice fade out too.
Yeah.
So all the songs you had already developed and written during the pandemic then, or was anything kind of new in the studio?
Yeah, so believe it or not, the majority during the pandemic, there was a lot of songs that were honed, but because we weren't allowed to practice together, I didn't want to go too deep into them in case we got into the practice room and they didn't work. So believe it or not, Sick Visions was actually probably the latest, that's probably the one closest to now that was written, but it seemed to me to be a song that made perfect sense to put out first. We were due to go into the studio to record a different song, and we wrote Sick Visions, and I what once it was done and I heard it in the practice room, I thought it was really fresh. I hadn't written a song like that before, and I thought we need to get in and record this now while the energy was still there and while it felt good. So once I'd done that, that was kind of led on to another two songs that finished off the album. The Devil Feels So Good was written not long after that. And I think you can kind of hear that through those two songs. They have the same kind of vibe. So yeah, the pandemic, I had probably the majority of the album was written during that. And then after the pandemic, we sort of got in to make sure everything was right and sounded good. We've done a few gigs, and then we got in and recorded the album. So yeah, the pandemic was I think people seen it as it obviously wasn't a very good time, but it was a bit of time to think over the songs, and maybe if the pandemic didn't happen, the songs wouldn't be probably as sculpted as what they are now. Because there wasn't that amount of time. I started writing it before the pandemic, and then it all got halted. But yeah, it was the way it's all ended up is probably, I always think things happen for a reason. So it's got to this point now, and I think it's a really cohesive album, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely worked out for the best. That's for sure.
So but at the minute, the say the likes doing the likes of this podcast, and people have a real interest in it, and people maybe that ne don't necessarily aren't really necessarily into that type of music. It seems to have perked a few people's ears who I know the likes of yourself, maybe along the sort of heavier slightly metal route. People are starting. We had our launch night on Friday night, and it was really, really good night. And a lot of the people that went, maybe if they knew me or knew the band, were there. But I think they were with the energy, and I think they were pleasantly surprised then when they came to see us, which was great.
Oh, certainly. And that's great to hear because it really does, the album, I mean, everything, but especially the singles has a very wide appeal. I feel like, you know,
Yep.
where it's cohesive, like you said, in the way it's written and played, but there's many different elements, whether it's metal, punk, you know, I don't care if you're into the Exploited or old time Chuck
Yep.
Berry rock and roll. I
Yep.
think there's something here for everybody to like. And even the White Stripes, like we were saying, you know, I
Yep.
think this would be a perfect contender for radio.
Yeah, I think it's been getting a lot. The two singles have been getting quite a lot of radio play in the UK. So there's actually a few big radio stations have played it over here. And I do think that it's nice to see that because I think when you're writing something and you're sitting on it for so long, you I'm not saying you don't, obviously I love it, but you don't know where it's going to be received. So the likes of Sick Visions and Taste Like Lightning especially, there's even been some shows in the US have played. I've played there's a one there's a couple of one in LA, there's one in Detroit, and I think that even seeing it played over there was great. And the response to it. So we were just kind of sending the stuff out a bit blindly to see if anyone would pick it up. There was a to be honest with you, there was a really cool show. A guy Lee from a band called Atomic Drag over here had give me a lot of contacts that he now he's in like a surf rock instrumental. They use sample really cool stuff. I think you would like them. But he sent me it and he said, here's a couple of because we're from Northern Ireland. He says, try these American shows. I think they might dig your singles. And about seven or eight of them all played the Sick Visions. And then as soon as I had that sort of connection with them, and I've sent them Taste Like Lightning, and they seem to be enjoying that too. So yeah, I think you're right. Taste Like Lightning was actually going to be the first single. And then I thought maybe the album as a whole is better represented through Sick Visions. I thought just with a slightly darker kind of tone to it, and I wanted to give a light, obviously a second single bit later on a lighter note. But yeah, the radio play seems to be going really well.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear it. It is especially so soon after you just released it too. That's a pretty, good move.
Yeah, well, there's a big show over here on BBC. A guy called Steve Lamacq, and he's like the new music. I'm sure you've heard of John Peel. He's
Oh
like
yeah.
the new he's like the guy you want to play your music now over here. And he picked up Sick Visions. I don't know how he picked it up, but he picked it up and he played it, and that was a massive thing for us. It's a big thing in the UK. You could play in Steve Lamacq's show, so he played that. It's just trying to get another song onto his show, and then if we got that, then it would be fine. But that's that'd be a hard task. But that was a big confidence boost. Yeah, when he played it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you, well, I know everybody has to work, obviously, but you got any plans for a tour or anything like that coming up or?
So at the minute, we've done our launch show in Voodoo, and that was near enough a sellout. So that was great. But at the minute, we're going to just keep on trying to promote the album. There's nothing for a tour at the minute. The next thing will be booking in our next gigs. So that'll be in the coming months. Over here, you're in a small pond over here, so it's you do kind of we played in obviously Belfast there on Friday night. We maybe look to do a gig a wee bit further afield. Maybe go down to Dublin and play and do things like that. But the main thing is getting, say, this podcast will help, and getting the album out to as many people as we can have listened to it, and then see what interest there is after that. I think we've been working so hard on it that we want to make sure every gig that we're doing is the right gig.
Sure.
I say we all have full-time jobs. I have a full-time job, so yeah, it's kind of working it in and around that. But if Freddie's anything to go by, then we'll just look at what our next gigs are going to be and try and make sure they're the right ones and make sure we can get a good crowd.
That's awesome. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Any music videos or anything?
Yeah, so at the minute, the two singles came out. They were released with lyric videos only. A guy called Ryan Humphries done them for us. So at the minute, I really wanted the songs to speak for themselves. And I know that sounds like in my other band, we have done music videos before where but at the minute, budget wise, I think everything's a lot tighter for people, and I wanted as much money to go into the record recording wise, and also I wanted to have the record pressed on vinyl, and I'm sure you know yourself that that's not cheap. So it was a toss up between, do we get the vinyl made, which is in the UK, that's very expensive to do at the minute for bands. It's very hard to make any sort of a profit off that. So, but I've never had a record on vinyl. Everything's been on CD before. So it was a big sort of ambition of mine to have it on vinyl. And I'm glad that we did do that. So music video wise, there was no budget really for that. It was all spent on making the vinyl. But the lyric videos, I think you have to have a presence on YouTube. We had to have lyric videos for social media and things like that. But I think we'll maybe just stick to that at the minute. As I say, the song, I do believe in the strength of the songs. So the lyric, I think the songs are enough with the lyric video. But no, there's no big budget ones in the pipeline or anything like that.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night, ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Well, the lyric videos were great. I mean, he did a very good job with just the font to the lyrics and the picture.
Yep.
The mood of the song.
Simple, but really very good. The guy Ryan Humphrey's done that for me, and it's great. As I say, some bands aren't even bothering with the videos now, and I was told that, you know, that I'm not saying it's a dying art, but people just don't have the money maybe to put into it now. You can do the lo-fi ones yourself. But say we maybe look into that. If we're going to put it another track, we'll maybe think about possibly like a live footage maybe type video. Just make it something like that, cut just for something different. But at the minute, as I say, the album only came out 2 weeks ago. The launch was on Friday, so it's about letting the album breathe a bit and letting people listen to it and doing things like this for PR and maybe spread the word and get as many people listening to the full album as possible. Yeah,
definitely. And they should. And I have to say, I 100% agree, not just because, oh, cool, I've got one out on, vinyl, but one, it's so well written and produced. I think the album experience on LP when I do receive my copy is just going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Shit, lost my train of thought. Oh, just it feeds in so well to that whole experience, both the themes and the mystery and the lyrics and how it's played and those different flourishes, whether it's the Hammond or the Moroccan sounds. You know, it just fits in very well with that original rock and roll vinyl experience.
Yeah, I think it was a thing. The guy, David McMaster, who produced the record, along with Ryan Bennett, Dave actually went above and beyond because he had actually never mixed the record for vinyl before, but he had an idea of how to do it, but he'd done a bit of research, and we done the whole album with Dave, and he was fantastic. So I felt I didn't really want to give it to anybody else. I know that sounds strange because I know a lot of bands can go through different producers and get it mastered elsewhere and get it mixed by certain. But I think Dave understood completely what I wanted to do with the record and the sound. And when it all came together, when the recording process finished and it all had came together, I thought he had done such a good job that I wanted him to mix and master it because he knew exactly what I was looking for. And I thought it might have been a bit of a risk if you take it and send it to someone else and it comes back again and you're paying money and it's not what you wanted. It was Dave done several mixes, and he also was, we didn't give constant feedback, but he done such a good job because when I first got the test pressings of the record and I listened to it, I was blown away by it. I thought, this sounds as good as what I thought or I wanted it to sound. So whenever you do get your copy, definitely, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with it. It sounds fantastic, yeah.
Oh, certainly. I mean, you know, hell, just digitally, it sounds
Yep.
awesome just in the lyric videos.
Yep. Well, that was it too. I wouldn't say listen to it to death, but I listened to it a lot when we were going through the mixing phase. And I think you can over listen to things and then start picking out things that maybe, as you said, I wanted to keep that sort of rock and roll, like sort of raw sound. And I think that we were able to capture that. I think when we were playing live, people noticed that it's even amped up. It's more so playing live always, but trying to get that onto a record, I think we got close to it, as close as we could get to it without doing a live performance. And then, as you say, hearing it digitally when it first went on to Spotify and things like that. I haven't listened to the album a lot since it came out because I think I listened to it far too much in the mixing process. So it was nice to play it live finally. We're always in the studio practicing, but hearing it live and hearing people's feedback who were comparing the live performance to the actual record, and they were saying they enjoyed the live better, which I was really happy with because I thought, well, I know the record is good song wise and sound and sonically, but the fact that people are digging it live as well just made it even sweeter.
Yeah, I would love to see a live performance, honestly. It's a shame I'm in the States.
Unless you can pay for us to come over, I can't see it
Well, there might be ways around that.
happening.
Just pretend you're Mick Jagger. It's fine. Just go in.
It's the price of everything now. Getting to the States to play is madness. I know a few bands that do go and play in America, and it's the cost of for visas and things like that. It's just is. It's massive. It's a, they're big costs. Yeah, it's
Yeah, even for I'm friends with a few of the guys in Voivod, who's one of my favorite bands of all time, and they're just in Canada, but they didn't come to the States for about 5 years recently because they just couldn't afford it.
Yeah, I think that's a and coming from the UK now is getting even more expensive since Brexit. Some bands that whereas before you could basically tour Europe for it wouldn't be super cheap, but you could do it because once you got say you get the boat to France and then you could drive the whole way through Europe. But now if you're coming from the UK you need to have those visas before you go there, whereas that wasn't a thing before, or before Brexit that wasn't a thing. So I do know that a lot of bands who do tour and they and relied on touring have now got extra costs to think about, which you know I think there needs to be something looked at there for artists, anyone traveling to play music or no matter what you do in the arts. I think it should be easier to go and travel and do that, even to go, you know, if you wanted to go and play. There's a lot of bands at the minute aren't even coming to Northern Ireland, they're coming to Belfast, they're just playing Dublin. Which is
Really?
only a, yeah, which is only seems to be a hundred. It's only 100 miles from Belfast, which doesn't make a lot of sense. But I think it's to do with costs. I swear to you. Some of the bands I listen to, I don't know if you'd be familiar. I listen to a band called the OCs. I'd be one of my favorite bands, and a guy, I know a guy Ty Segall as well, and I'd be a massive fan of his. Both of them came to Dublin but didn't come to Belfast. So I don't know whether there's not either the demand or whether the cost of coming over the border. I have no idea, but both of them have travelled and they've went to Dublin and played and then went straight on to Europe. They haven't came to Belfast. So they've played UK shows, but that's the, but we're not on the mainland because we're in Northern Ireland. It's they didn't bother with the Belfast yet, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a shame. Because,
Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
I mean, Northern Ireland might be part of the UK, but you guys aren't all that
Yeah,
close.
exactly. And it means that if we want to go and watch any of those bands, especially the bands that I would like, which are maybe just not as bit mainstream and they're playing Dublin, you're going down to Dublin there. Dublin's not cheap. Dublin's very expensive. So even going down for an overnight stay can be very, very costly. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, and I almost forgot. Where can people get the album at?
Yeah, so you get it on Spotify. If you want to be really cool, you can go and download it from Bandcamp. So the full album is available for £6 on Bandcamp. If anyone wants a physical copy, they can get in contact with us through Instagram or through Facebook, and we're going to be posting them directly to you. So the vinyl is still available. They're very, very limited. If anyone is looking one, it'd be King Creeper on Facebook. Or if you search King Creeper Band on Instagram and just drop us a message, there'll be postage costs. There's actually a few. There's one going. I've just been in contact with a guy from Boston, and he's looking one. So at the minute, I'm having a conversation with him about getting one over to America for him. So yeah, if you want to listen to the music, it's all on Spotify. Just search King Creeper. Be a Door of the Chaos for the album. The singles are on there too. But yeah, Bandcamp, if you want to buy it and download it off there, it would be going directly to us then. So it'd be £6. So yeah, that's everywhere you can get it. We operate mostly on Instagram at the minute. That's where we do most of our posting. We do repost to Facebook, but not so much the Facebook page. I think unless you're paying for the ads, it's quite difficult. We haven't got the same reach on Facebook. So if anyone is looking to follow us and see what we are doing, King Creeper Band on Instagram is the main one. Yeah.
Excellent. I recommend everybody goes and does it immediately. You will
Yeah.
like this album. You will tell a
Yeah.
friend I said so. Yep,
Thanks, Greg.
thank you very much for coming on, David. I've had a lot of fun doing this, and this album's going to end up in my regular rotation. It's
Yeah, amazing, amazing, Greg. I say, thank you very much for having me on, and it's great to have an in-depth conversation about the album. And hopefully, anyone that does tune into this goes and checks out the album. And as I say, if we're going to have more merch as well coming out soon, so there's going to be t-shirts available and things like that. So just keep an eye out for that too.
Excellent. Well, thanks again, David.
Yes, thanks,
You
Greg.
guys rock on.
Cheers.